I'm Cindy and I'm an addict.
Hey,
Cindy. And I've been trying to get God-centered for this for like 2 weeks. So the topic is gratitude is not just a mood, it's a course of action. And the course of action in the last 24 hours, I have been talking to my sponsor and my grand sponsor. And to try to figure out how to share this and how to, you know, go about the gratitude. It's not just a mood, it's a course of action. So I know that, like, in the last 3 years, we have faced this new way of life, and the pandemic hit, and so, like me and many others, did Zoom, and so it took a lot for me to come back into the meeting. And when I first got here, I got 15 and a half years clean. I've been here for 22 years. And when I first got here, when I walked in the rooms, people hugged me, genuinely hugged me, and I hated it. And because I didn't know you, I didn't know what was going on, and I was scared. And so I know that today in this new life is that people are starting to hug. When I first started to come back into in-person meetings, people asked me if I hugged. People genuinely cared if I was still social distancing. People asked me, are you dabbing? Are you elbow dabbing? I'm in healthcare, so I had to learn a lot of things. And so just here recently, I believe this year had kind of been the year that I started hugging again. Like, I walked in and I gave, literally, like, that's what helped me to keep coming back, the love that you guys gave me. So I'm going to ask people today to see if y'all willing to do a course of action with me. You can either do a dab, you can do a wave, or you can do a hug. But would you be willing to stand up with me and hug your partner next to you to welcome the newcomer to Narcotics Anonymous? Because that's what kept coming me back. So I'm going to get up. Welcome. Okay, I'm Cindy and I am an addict.
Hey, Cindy.
Thank you so much. That just kind of brought joy to my heart. People who taught me in the beginning about hugging, we hug from the heart because hearts touch each other. And my sponsor is the heartbeat of this fellowship. And without them, I wouldn't have been able to even conquer to do that. I was so nervous just to even say, hey, you think we could get up and hug? And without their guidance and to show me, even just walking in, I was just talking to my grand sponsor. And she was like, yeah, this is great. Do that. And thank you. Thank you for participating in your recovery and mine. And, you know, when I was reading Gratitude is Just Not a Mood, I looked up mood. It said temporary. That sometimes that I'm temporary in gratitude. I'm not always in gratitude. And I'm sharing you this because when I first got here, I didn't know how to read and write. And he just told me, are we going to read this? And I'm like, it's like, you know, we're talking among each other. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to kind of just slow it out. But he doesn't know me from Adam. He doesn't know that I came in here not knowing how to read and write. It took me about a year and a half to even read Who is an Addict, to even get the courage to say, you know, Who is an Addict and read it. And today, yes, I read all this. I looked it up in, you know, in Google. Thank God for Google. And thank God for Google. And it was talking about, you know, what I can say about gratitude is a course of action. The actions that I take for me is that I have a sponsor. I work my steps. I have a grand sponsor who I dearly, like, I talk to almost every day. I have sponsees. I work steps. They work steps. I'm just guiding them through it. I'm nobody's, you know, I'm just giving back what was freely given to me. And that's the actions that I take. Now, what has happened in my journey of my 22 years here, I relapsed after 5 years. And even though I heard when I first got here that a grateful addict never uses, I couldn't get with it. One, what the hell is grateful? You know, I didn't know a lot of the words that y'all were telling me. And my sponsor, thank God that I had, back then when he said, where do we find the cassettes, that just made me laugh. Because back then, that's what we had. We had cassettes. We had CDs. And so my sponsor was like, we're going to buy you the cassettes. We're going to buy you. You don't need to read with nobody. You just read along. And as time went on, like, I learned some words. And that's one of the things that I'm really, really grateful for, is that I was able, I'm not one that said I want to go to college and I want to get my master's. I didn't do that. Everything I learned to read, I learned to read here. And even till this day, I never went back to school. And so some people would say, well, hell, you know everything from the literature. No, I don't. I just know how to read it. Doesn't mean that I know every word. It doesn't mean that. And but it was talking about discipline. You know, when things are going really bad, because I've been that person that's been here for a while, that I lost my three brothers to active addiction, in prison, OD, in a nursing home. And my mom passed away of cirrhosis to the liver. And my dad died of a heart attack. And my late husband died of a heart attack. So when those things happened to me in this journey, I had to discipline myself to, as mad as I was with God, and as mad as I was because I didn't understand, because it even talked on here when it said why. And it even said stuff like, you know, just fully believing in its spiritual principles. It talked about, not because it's wrong, but because it just gets uncomfortable for us. We couldn't stand the way it made us feel. There was times that I would sit in a meeting and I would tell them, like, I literally wanted to die. I didn't want to use. I woke up one morning. My husband was there. The next day, I'm having to go to the morgue. He died just of a sudden heart attack. And one morning, they call me that my mom is turning for the worse. And I have to, it talked about resentments in here, that they go hand in hand. And thank God for step work, because I was mad at her. And I stayed here long enough to work through those feelings, that I was able to travel and stay with her for as long as it took for God to take her home. And when I sat, because it said here that we used to see the world through filters and entertainment and resentment. There was time that I would entertain that, you know, I had that mom that I could go to and I could hug her. Like, I always wanted that crawl in the bed mom. You know, and she just couldn't give it to me until, like, she was dying. The last 90 days of her life, I actually was able to crawl in there, and she sat with me, and she told me that she was sorry. And I had to just tell her, you know what? Ain't about all that shit no more. Like, I'm good. And that to learn how to, it said humility and gratitude walk hand in hand. And I was just so grateful not to just say that it walks hand in hand, but to hold her hand and walk with her. You know, she didn't believe that she was going to die. She believed that if she got, that she was going to get better and that she was going to walk into these rooms of Narcotics Anonymous with me. She said, you know what? I'm ready. I'm ready to go to them rooms with you. I'm ready to go to the meeting. I'm ready to stop drinking. I said, you know what? And I genuinely believe that people, even myself, when I would get up to get that white tea tag, I literally, genuinely believed that I wanted to stay clean. I just didn't know how. And I just couldn't be grateful or even understand what that meant to come in and get that white tea tag and let y'all love me. One of the things that Narcotics Anonymous showed me was to allow y'all to love me so I can learn to love you. And in turn, I was able to get married. And my marriages, one is I was a widow, and the other one, I just got a divorce. But I learned that, like, I genuinely loved him. When before, when I was out there using, I was just a kid. I didn't even know what love was. You guys showed me just to touch somebody. It wasn't about intimacy, going to bed with them and having that intimate sex with them. It was like kicking back with them, doing what we do as a couple, coming into the meeting. He's in the fellowship, sitting there next to me, walking with me. And if it didn't work out, guess what? I still love you. And we walk in the meeting. We might not sit together anymore, but we are together because we're in the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. And I had to learn how to put that together. Because one thing, I never want anybody to go back out just because me and you are not together. I do not want to lose my clean date, and I damn well don't want to see you back at the dope house. I really don't. And y'all taught me that, because when before I got here, I'd be like, F you, I don't care about you, ride in hell, get in my car, I'll run over you. And I don't do that no more. We do recover here. I don't have to cuss you out. I don't call you FM and SD and DS and all the words that I could call you. I have to do that because one of the things that I've learned here that I'm so grateful for is that I don't want to add anything to my step work. Because the more I act out, the more shit I got to put in my step work. Unless I'm just going to lie. And I do not want to add anything to it. And I see my boy. I just actually just got off the phone with my ex-husband. And he texted me, you're going to do great. You know, we know people in the fellowship. And it feels really good that to understand that we were just better off as friends. And to come to that conclusion. That's one of the things that I wanted to learn here in the program was that to learn to be adults when it's time that it's not working no more. I wanted to learn, I mean, we ain't dabbing and handshaking, hey, it was good, nice meeting you kind of shit. But at least to come into the meeting and we act like adults. Because I've been in meetings where I've been here a long time. I've seen people get beat up outside. And, you know, they come in with a new chick and they come in with a new dude. Some feelings come in. But this is what I did here. I get in relationships and recovery. And I haven't done it in a long time. But I have. So I know what that feels like. And I wanted to learn how to be grateful for the things, even when they're not going right. You know, to find walking hand in hand and having humility, entertainment. You know, when I'm seeing, my eyes are changing the longer I stay clean. My eyes are not seeing like when I was a newcomer. When I first got here, how am I going to do this? I don't know if I'm going to make it. I'm going to die out there. And I don't think I could get one day clean. My thought process was I wasn't going to be here, sitting here at this convention. Thank you for inviting me here. I was floorboarded when they even called me. Little bitty old me, I'm in M&S, minding my own little business, going to work, you know. And they call me, hey, you think you can come speak over here? I'm like, me? Why? I mean, people don't even know me. But they do know me because I belong to a fellowship called Narcotics Anonymous. Yeah, right. And when I come into a room and I share, I let you know me. When I'm telling you, you know if I have a sponsor, you know if I'm married, you know if I'm acting out, you know if I'm working my steps, because I'm telling you. So I ain't got no business. When I say mind your business, I ain't got no business. I'm telling you my business. And those are the things that walk hand in hand with, is it a course of action? Yes, well, of course it is. Coming over here is a course of action. Getting on the highway, I have a sponsee that came with me. She invited a newcomer that lives in her town. None of my sponsees live in my town. I sponsor women in another town. And I work 13 hours a day. But I still make time. If they text me and they call me or whatever it is, hey, let me get out. Hold on. I'm doing something. I'll call you back at lunch or I'll call you, give me 30, something. And I never leave them hanging. I remember I used to have sponsors that would never call me back. And I didn't like that. somewhere along the line, as a sponsor, you got to acknowledge. One thing I knew that I was going to go back out if she didn't call me. I didn't have that foundation. I wasn't that strong. And when they, and I rebelled, and I said, well, fuck your name, you know, so excuse my language, but I was like, you know, and I didn't want that for other women to feel as if they couldn't trust us. And I didn't come in here booming with love, wanting to sponsor nobody. I don't feel that I had anything to give you, but somehow, some way, these women entrusted in me and asked me. And the course of action is that I'm giving back what was really given to me by my sponsor, by my grand sponsor, by their sponsor, by their sponsor. And this is how this works. Because they've been here so long that I was even able to meet Betty Kay. I sat with Betty Kay one time. And she, if y'all don't know who Betty Kay is, from the old Basic Tech, she Philco Mother, or I think that's the one she, the story she did. And she sat with me. She had so much clean time. This lady literally like sat with me. I was honored. I was like, what the hell? You know, people who wrote stories on here, I got to sit with them. Like, yeah, I thought I was the, thought it was the Queen Elizabeth. And man, you know, now that she passed, like I can say that this lady took her time, her course of action was to sit with little old me and give me her experience, strength, and hope. Man, that is awesome. And so how can I be so selfish to keep my time to myself when these people before me gave their time for me? I literally take it. I'm very selfish, self-centered when it came to Narcotics Anonymous. When I started hearing about how Narcotics Anonymous was built and how they were going in dumpsters and getting papers to do who's an addict and they were writing it, I was saying, shit, they were doing that for me. So that I can live, so I can learn what gratitude is. A grateful addict never uses, and I'm truly grateful. Do I know how to read clearly? No. Do I? Am I still learning? Yes. Is there room for growth? Yes. Do I make mistakes? Yes. Have I made many? Yes. You guys, everything y'all told me not to do, I did it. But I can tell you that we do recover. And in the last 6 years, ain't no man slept in my bed. Right. Nah, I ain't gonna say I ain't slept in their bed, but they ain't slept in my bed. So my bed has been safe. Ain't nobody jumping out of this bed. And that's gross. Because I'd be like, I ain't going to your house, come to mine. And no one has come. No one has come. And that is, you know, it's serious for me. And that shows how grateful when I wake up. I used to think that that's what kept me a day, that dude had to be there, my husband or whoever the case may be. But I literally just wake up and just get out of bed and I'm happy just for the day. And will I continue to be? I don't know. Tomorrow's not here. I know that, like, it's a course of action. And as long as I keep doing what you guys taught me to do, you know, doing this thing one day at a time, 1 minute at a time, be of service, talk to my God, get with my sponsor, attend a meeting regularly, that, like, I know that I got one more chance. I don't really know how much time we got. So. Oh, dang. We got 10 minutes. Okay. You know, it doesn't mean we have to. Oh, okay. So, so anyway, I know that, like, for me, I have been reading this chapter for, I don't read this book all the time. I actually had to go dig the book up when they, because I moved from town to have stuff in boxes. And so when he told me what the topic was, and on top it says walking the walk, and I just started laughing because I haven't always been that walk the walk right. But is there a right or wrong way? Do I write too little? Do I write too much? I believe for me is that as long as I don't use no matter what, I still got another chance. Do I make the same mistakes I probably have a couple of times. Am I getting better? Yes. One of the things that I wanted to share about too, that I had talked about when I talked about gratitude is just not just a mood, it's a course of action, was when I was telling y'all that my brother had passed away. One of my brothers had molested me when I was little, and I hated him. Like, I hated him to a core, and I put them all in my step work. I've been working steps, seeing a therapist. I literally, you know, was doing the thing. And a couple of years before he passed, I started talking to him again. And, you know, I was where at the point where I had told my sister, if he passed, don't call me. Don't even reach out to me. But, well, of course, we do recover around here. And when God put us back together, because it had nothing to do with that. I had nothing to do with that. God did that. And so when he put us back together, he was passing away, right? He was taking his last breath and stuff. And it just so happened that I was there with him in the room. And I was laying next to him, and the hospice lady had told us that his vitals was going low and that he was about to pass. And so I laid next to him, and he had been asleep for a couple of days. And, I'm just so grateful for this fellowship. Like, literally, like, I'm so grateful. And it looked like he was fighting. He was fighting with himself. And I just whispered in his ear, and I just told him, like, hey, bro. Literally, that's how he's talking. Hey, bro. It's going to be all right. Like, I literally, like, I forgive you. Like, you ain't even got to worry about it. You ain't got to worry about nothing. And he was having problems with his son, and his son was on the other side, and his son was, like, you know, genuinely giving him the okay to go, you know. And I tell you, I hadn't seen this dude's eyes open in, like, a couple of days. You know, he was asleep. And he opened his eyes. At that moment, he opened his eyes up. And he looked at both of us. And these tears, just, like, these tears of gratitude for him to be released from his chains. And I tell you, he took this long, deep breath, and he exhaled it out, and he passed. And it was the most beautiful experience I had ever been on with him. And when I got up a couple of hours later, people started telling me, happy birthday. I was like, oh, shit, it's my birthday. Wow. It was my birthday. And, you know, it just, I went in and I got in this quiet place, and I told God, golly, you got a sense of humor. You know, you put us back together, you take them on my birthday, and how do I do this? And so he says, I got another sense of humor for you. Nobody wants to get up and speak at his funeral, so you got it. I was like, okay. So I got up and I spoke for my brother, and I didn't lie. I told him, in the family, it's always been a sad family secret. People don't talk about our shit. We just look, hey, we're brother and sister. Everything's going well. People didn't know stuff. But I just genuinely said, we really didn't get along. He didn't like me. I didn't like him. But the God that I serve, the God that I found here in Narcotics Anonymous, it's giving me the strength to come in here and give him a proper burial. I don't have to sit here and belittle my brother no more. He's gone. And I sat there, and I genuinely cared about it. And talking about walking hand in hand with God. And it talked about here about walking with God. But we start to see that our questions about the nature of our God are much less important than the rewards we get from building that relationship, even if we don't understand it or fully believed it. If you would have told me in 2000 when I left treatment that my brothers were going to die in prison, that I was going to be taking care of my mom, that I was going to forgive my brother, that my husband was going to pass away of a heart, that I was going to get a divorce, that I was going to be here. I would not have believed you. I'm trying to, like, just learn how to not use dope. I don't even think I was trying to learn how to stay clean at the time. Today, I truly, truly, not only am I grateful to belong to this fellowship, but I'm proud to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous. I would not change my course no other way. I have been crying since a few days ago. You tell my sponsee, the people I'm with, I've been trying to get to this beach in Galveston, people. I've been trying, like, as soon as we get through that, trust me, right? So many people have been walking with me today. As soon as I leave here, right here, this little section here, I'm going to my room, I'm going to change, I'm going to get my car, and I'm going to Galveston. And I'm going to go sit in that water, probably not go all the way in, but I'm going to sit in that water. And I'm going to thank God for this journey. When my father passed away, they took me to South Padre. And I went all the way into the middle of the ocean. I swam there. And I just cried. That water does something to me when I'm in this journey. It brings my soul to peace. And it's like, because I'm going back to work. I'm in healthcare. Right now, we're in an outbreak where I work at. I do not work in with the patients, but we're in an outbreak. Everything's on shutdown. Everything's hot zone right now. These residents are getting COVID. They're like back to back. I got tested yesterday before I left. I'll get tested when I go back. So hell yeah, I'm going to go and sit in that water and say thank you. I don't know when it's going to be my turn. I live in it. I work in it. I'm not going to quit. I'm not. Just like I'm not going to quit this. When it gets hard, the heart gets going, guess what? I'm going to sit right here, and I'm going to keep sharing with you guys what's going on with me, be but honest, whether it makes me feel good or not. And I did it. Like I say, thank you for allowing me to share.
Good job. I'm Dino, and I'm an addict.
Hello.
Got the phone call. They should have gave me a couple choices on the topic, but they didn't. And the way this is written, it's a little confusing. And so I'm going to read it. And I asked her, I said, hey, you want to read it? I'm not a good reader. She goes, well, basically me neither. So actually, y'all could just read it and we'll just think about it for a minute. But gratitude is not just a mood. It's a course of action, a way of setting ourselves in relation to the world. Sometimes it's a discipline. We can take work to hold ourselves. It can take work to hold ourselves in that attitude, especially when we're used to seeing the world through our filters of entitlement and resentment. Humility and gratitude walk hand in hand. We practice saying what we're grateful for, whether we feel it or whether or not we feel it. The feeling may not come naturally at first, but when we practice saying thanks, we start to recognize how much we have to be thankful for. Many of us start with the fact that we're not in withdrawal today. When we start to see how fortunate we really are, our questions don't frighten us as they once did. They may not be answered right away, but we start to see that our questions about the nature of God are much less important than the rewards we get from building the relationship, even if we don't understand it or fully believe it. Lots of stuff in there when I read that. And then I read it again, read it again. I was like, golly. Lots of things I'm grateful for. And so then I tried to figure out, okay, what's it mean? It's not just a mood. And so, hey, I'm grateful for a lot of stuff. And I could say that and we could be done. But it's living a grateful life. And, you know, when I first got here, I didn't believe in God. And so I read ahead on the step. I saw on the third step, it said God. And I was like, oh, this ain't going to work either, you know. But I was able to focus on the first step. That was the most important. I was powerless over my addiction. My life was unmanageable. Check. Crystal clear. Got that one. And so it, when I read ahead and all the other stuff, was, I ain't going to tell anybody everything, so that's not going to happen, and there's no God. And it, so I just stay on that first step, you know, and it applied to me. And I had a roommate, and all the gratitude comes, it's all back to God, because I know how I did before I had him in my life. I haven't forgot. And any of y'all think you got your shit together and you don't need us and you're too busy, just close your eyes and think about 4 days before you found us, when you had your shit together, remember? Okay, so that's what I had, and those are the decisions I made. I made every decision. I did everything exactly the way I wanted to. I didn't do a single thing anybody told me. I didn't go by any laws, morals, values, nothing. I did whatever popped in my head. And that's how I live my life, man. And if there's a God, that meant I was going to hell, and then there's heaven, hell, and screw it. There's nothing. That was easy. Do what you want. And I did. And that was a tornado in people's lives, man. Nothing mattered. I made you cry. I won. You know, and that's I didn't care about me. Didn't care about you. Didn't care about living. So end up in rehab, and I got a guy that read the Bible every day and down on his knees reading the Bible. I said, what are you reading that stupid stuff for? Just stories. You can't get to every animal on the boat. I give him a rundown of my version of nothing. And he just looked at me and says, hey, man, why don't you just ask God to help you through the day, and at the end of the day, thank him. I said, screw that. So I had a couple more bad days, and I said, all right, God, help me through the day. You know what happened? My day went all right. And you know what I did? It was going to be all right anyways. So then I wouldn't pray. I wouldn't pray and get messed up. And so it's tiny, itty-bitty little baby steps of me trying, taking it back, trying. And today I know that it's 100% God. I'm not lucky. I have a lottery ticket. I ain't never won. So it's not a lucky thing. There's something else. God's working in my life. And George T. was my first sponsor. And one of the... He had all kinds of little slogans that helped me a lot, because I don't have much of an attention span. And so, he said, do something for somebody and don't get caught. And that's something I learned in the program here, because I did not have that thought out there. You know, if I walked a little old lady across the street, I expected to be on the marquee sign thanking Dino for this action. And so it's one of the hardest things we can do in here is do something good for somebody and not tell anybody. And what happens, I had no feelings when I got here. And in fact, the emoji thing that we have now, it was on a piece of paper back when I got here. And it was, there, you can't believe how many feelings there really are. Because I didn't have mad, happy when I scored, you know, just about four feelings is all I ever felt. And so then when I saw all that, I was like, holy crap. But anyways, I can remember the first time that I helped somebody. I was leaving the house. I get out of rehab. I'm driving down the street, and this guy is probably 80 years old. He's got his lawnmower with a little wagon on the back and his bunch of logs on there, and it was rolled over. And I'm driving down the street, and all of a sudden I see situation. I stop, hustle up into his yard there, straighten out his wagon, put his logs back on, look at him. He looks at me, get back in my truck, and I drive off. And I'm like, wow, I felt good, man. He don't even know what was on my mind, but I just did it, and it's a reflex thing. And I did it. I did something nice for him, and so I'm off. I did. I'm feeling good, and then I shared about it in a meeting, and it cut it in half. And we talk about, you know, when we're going through problems, if we share it, you know, it cuts it down. You know, the more we share it, the less it gets. Well, it works the other way too. When I'm saying, look at me. And so it is hard. It is so hard to do that. And that one there, I lost all that happy stuff, you know, whatever it was. So I just keep sharing that one. That's a good one. And so it's, but today, you know, I've learned to, I live my life like that. And when I look at the gratitude and sharing about it, I don't talk about, you knew me and my life and where I came from and where I'm at. I pulled up in a Bentley here. Okay. So let that soak in. Okay. Pretty cool. But let's look at the real picture. It's used. It was used when I bought it. And so it's, but I've been clean since September 4th, 1988. That's 34 years I've been clean. I'm not no NA superstar. I'm a guy just trying to do the best I can and make it each day, and just days add up and days add up and days add up. And you know what happens when you do that? If you get a job, bust your ass, give 110%, you get promoted, you move up, and you'll make more money. And if you pay all your bills, you'll get credit, and you'll max out that card the first couple. But once you get a few years in there and start learning how to manage money and do the right thing with it, and the kind of the normal world of what they do is I'm a good watcher, and I learned. And just by default, if you pay on a house for 20 years, it'll get paid for. So stay clean for 20 years and pay it, and you can pay extra and pay it off in 15. And those things are happening in my life, and they've been happening. It's a trip. When I first pulled up at rehab, I was in a druggy buggy, and we pulled up there, and there was a white Mercedes in the parking lot. And when I saw that car, I was like, holy shit, someone ended up with something when they got here. I had a Delta 88 when I got here, and it was a piece of crap. And that's what I started with. We were sharing, riding with my sponsor last night, and got something to eat. And I got here with zero, okay? I had nothing, man. I owed the IRS a bunch of money, and so I started with nothing. And so you wanted to see a message, just kind of check it out. The sky's the limit. Anything can happen. You want your wife back? It can happen. Not really want it, but it could happen. You want your husband back? You want your kids in your life? You want your dad to say he's proud of you? That happened to me. It didn't while I was using, but he finally said it before he passed. And I was there when he passed. I was part of as an asset to the family. I'm watching Vic go through this. Losing his son, man. He lost his son. He's got all kinds of hope, excitement. His son's getting out after 7 years in prison. Seems like he wants recovery. And he gets a phone call, and he thinks it's his son calling. And they say, hey, you need to get up here. Your son's dying. He's not going to make it tonight. Holy fuck, I got chills. I got a son. I got the same son. My son did a year, did 2 years, did a year before he was 24. You know, and my son's in the program. And it's, I'm able to carry a message of, in the beginning, it was like, man, if that mother can stay clean, anyone can. That was my message in the beginning. I was nuts. I was a raging idiot. Take all my outs away from me. You can't, you know, hit anybody, can't do drugs, can't drink, can't. And so Dino stuck with Dino, and I was miserable in the beginning. And it took time. I had to learn everything. I had no people skills. I had survival skills. In fact, they should have NA Naked and Afraid. We would win. We've been through some shit, man. We're survivors. Because a whole lot of people don't make it. So if you make it in here, the hardest part of the whole program is walking in the door the first time. That is the hardest thing we can do. Just walk in that door. I made it. And I haven't relapsed yet. I was going to blow my brains out or get help. There was nothing else. I can figure some things out. And I could not figure out how to stay clean on my own. When I got here, it happened. And today I share about it. I go to meetings. I sponsor people. I give back. I owe my life to NA. And there's times through 34 years, I've grown up in the program in front of everybody. I've made all kinds of mistakes, done crazy stuff, and I'm an addict, and I'm a human, and I made mistakes. And I'm the first guy in Narcotics Anonymous to have an affair. But, well, I'm the only one talking about it. So. And when it happened, I was with somebody, and I love her. I love her today. If her roof blows off, I'll buy her a roof. But I didn't want to walk down the beach holding her hand anymore. And so I made mistakes. I messed up. I had 20 years clean. Everyone was like, I can't believe you do that with all that clean time. I said, get you 20 years on a clean run. You know, it's life happened. I made mistakes. And you know what the first thing was? I said, I'm going to go to another group. This home group's not all that good. Whatever. That's not true. But you know what I did? I didn't. I stayed and I took my ass to him because I had it coming. I was wrong. What I did was wrong. And what I learned from it, I learned stuff. And I can share it to people that, hey, it's okay if a relationship doesn't work. Leave. Then get started in the next one. But we can't do that. I'm not good at it because I want to make sure I got something lined up that who would want to be alone, you know? And so, but I'm learning. I've learned those things, and I'm learning. I'm always learning. I'm a good watcher. I watch people come in and out. When I first got here, I was like, wow, we can just go out, get loaded, come back, and get a desire tag. And then I started noticing, well, 10 went out and 4 came back. And then that guy's kind of retarded now. So it's like, I'm staying. And so it was easier to stay. And I haven't gone out, man, yet. And I know I'm one shot, one drink, one from a really bad situation. Today I can wear a short sleeve shirt without bruises. Not really. I went and got my blood work done, and of course it would happen for you guys. So I'm like, it sucks. But hey, I'm wanting to do it. I'm like, hey, go over here. Anyways, it didn't turn out well. But I got a stepdaughter in my life that I raised. That was an abused kid, man. I got the shit beat out of me on a regular basis. It was bad. My childhood was... There was two sides. One what was behind the doors, and the other one was how everybody saw us. And so it was... Anyways, so then I said, you know, it's time to start having family or do something. I said, you know what, man? I'm not going to have any kids. The cycle stops right here. I ended up with a lady, Nanette. She had 3 kids. The daughter was with her. She's about 8 or 9, Tabitha. And boom, I got a daughter. Got a race. And... I did a good job, man. She works for me today. We're business partners in the business. And right off the bat, trying to figure out how to do that. You know, how do you raise somebody? How do you do this? And I thought, well, beating her's not going to work. Cause I would have been an angel if that worked out. So that's off the table. And I said, you know, I came up with, there has to be consequences. And I told her, I said, you know what, man, I want nothing but good for you. And I want you to have a good time with your friends and do good stuff. I said, there's only one person going to mess that up, and that's you. And she's bought into it for a minute until she got bad grades. And I said, you're not going to do this. And she goes, I don't see how that's going to make me smarter. And I said, I grounded her. And she said that. And I said, neither do I, but it will. And so we've had a hell of a relationship. And I got a son that I'd never met until he was like 14. I had 14 years clean. He was 12 when I met him, my son. And anyway, just crazy stuff that happened. And he ended up moving out here, living with me. And he was me, mini me, man. And we weren't even together, but he was me. Yeah. And just all the stuff. And I put all the NA talks and spells and do this, do that, meetings, and I put everything on him, man. And he turned out the way he turned out. And anyways, he moved back to California. And, you know, he found his path in AA. And today, he's doing good. He's got a family. He's doing the best of his ability. And he's still a mess, man. And, you know, he's got to figure it out. I got a brother that's got a couple years clean now. I got a sister that just got out of rehab probably 90 days ago. She's doing good. And so it runs in my family. But guess who's the go-to guy is to call if someone needs to go to rehab? but that's a message, man. That's a message that they're able to see that it's working. My mom thinks it's a hoax for my brother, but it's working for me. That's a whole nother thing. But it works, man. This is giving me a life beyond my wildest dreams. And like I said, all the things you want. I got a cool car, a couple cool cars. I got motors. I got all the toys that you could want. I don't tell nobody about it. I got the coolest pool I've ever seen at a house. And I didn't post no pictures, nothing about it. I enjoy it. And it's awesome. And it's the rewards of this. And along the way, I've taken credit for stuff. Believe me, I have. Look at me. Got a new truck. It was 1992. Got a brand new truck going over the causeway. And I've been, look at me. And all of a sudden, traffic stops. I stop. Car behind me. Boom. Hits me. I hit the car. Crunch my truck. Guess what? I said, all right, God, I get it. It's just a truck. It doesn't make me a better person. I had a 300ZX. Used one back after that was the next one. Look at me. I'm like, okay, no ego. It's just a car. And look at me. And so then someone rear ends it and crunches it. It's just a car. Third time. I get a new truck. I got a trailer on the back. I forget the trailer's on the back. And I'm working myself. I'm like, just a truck. Doesn't make me a better person. Anyways, I got my truck. Get my ego. Anyways, forget the trailer's on the back. back up, jackknife, put a dent in the side of my truck. It's just a truck. So it's just stuff, man. And God has snatched that. Every time I think I got it going on, God has snatched it away. So I'm really, really cautious when I talk about stuff. And it's like, I ain't saying nothing to nobody. And my pool, my son posted some pictures, and then it kind of opened the door to it, kind of. But and you can look at me, and I was at we took a newcomer out to eat one time down in Galveston, me and a buddy of mine, and we're sitting down there, and he goes, what's your deal? Looks like you're a couple payments behind on your Corvette payment or something. And he goes, I was shooting dope in the bathroom just like you did. I did all those things. And but we start to clean up, and we start to be responsible, productive members of society, and we start giving back. And I give back a lot, man. It's what's been freely given to me, and I don't have lots of time. I had 13 hours a day. She does not have a lots of time to give back, but I know she is, and I do. And financially, I'm able to give back in different areas. Everybody has something you can give back to this program. Everybody. Linda was at our group. She was about the poorest person I knew. And you know what she did? She'd mop our floors and clean the counters all the time. And she kept the place clean. You know what people did? Why does she always get that job? And so a girl took her job. And I'm like, and her job, her give back. She took it from her. And it was just like, what the fuck is wrong with people? It's the one thing that she could give back was her time, and she had pride. It gave her pride. You know, she was happy with that. And so, anyways, that's not what set off. She ended up relapsing and dying. But who knows what that is? Mm-hmm. Why not? If you see someone that's able to do something that you could do also, it's okay to let the newcomer take over and mess up. Because I know how to chair a meeting. I know a lot of stuff about NA. And if I just keep doing it, I've chaired a men's meeting for a couple of years, and it goes up and down. And then, you know, I say, hey, someone else go. And then for whatever reason, keeps defaulting back to me. But it's something right now I got to push someone else into it. And that's our responsibility is rotation. You know, if you've been clean for a while, it's teaching people that they can't grow and can't learn how to do stuff if we keep doing it. And then time goes by, and the lady you talked about that died, that was Mrs. N.A., you know, it's we need to grow together. And then, like Brandon was saying last night, you know, do a little bit more. You put a dollar in the basket. You know what? I've been clean for 34 years. Guess what we put in the basket? $1. 34 years ago. Any of y'all bitching when you pull up at Starbucks and say, hey, I used to pay 50 cents. No, you don't. You pay $5 for a coffee, but you're still going to put a dollar in a basket. That's not fair. That's not fair for what you're getting to put a dollar in a basket. World is hurting. They need the money. What are they doing with it? You can listen to some group of people say that they got corporate headquarters. Did any of y'all sign your name on the contract for this order of books right here? Did you put your name on? No. So we have people that do that, and they do all that. It's a business up above us. It has to be. To put all this together, someone put their name on the line, and it wasn't you. It wasn't me. And so I challenge you, put $2 in the basket and it'll change NA. The message will get carried more. People aren't going to get a raise because you did that. And it's not going to hurt anybody in here. I'm willing to go out on a limb to put an extra dollar in the basket. But those are the things that I see that I look at my income and where I'm at, and I've chose as I've increased, what I put in the basket increases. And it's, I owe my life to NA. So how much is it worth to you? It's worth everything. Because without this, go back to the beginning. Close your eyes. Before you had this, who had what? Did you have cool shit back then? Probably not. And if you did, you sold it to get an attorney. So there you go. There's what you had before us. I need you. We're all tied, and we're all the same. Today I'm winning. Tomorrow I'll be losing. It's whack-a-mole, man. Your time's coming. Keep pointing at somebody. Watch what happens. God squares all deals. He's got this. And hey, look at me. Look at me. Okay. I just watch. I'm a good watcher. Pray for patience once. You'll do that once. You won't do that twice. But I did. And then I'm like, whew. Everything took forever. But anyways, you know, I'm grateful for the life I have, man. And it, Dennis, an employee, one of my best friends, business partner, Perry is my sponsor, one of my best friends, Linnell, and Amy, Vic. We're family, even Joe. And so, but we're all pulling for each other, man. You got to find a some people call it tribe, Adam. It's we need each other. And anytime you think you don't need us and you get a resentment at your home group, I love that one. You got a resentment at your home group? Oh, yeah, they're this. Everybody? All of them? Yep. And I think at our group, we got Lee. And now I say, Lee? You got a resentment at Lee? What'd he do? You know, you got to look at it. It's kind of crazy. There's probably something in me. And believe me, I've gotten aggravated, and group conscience works. Group conscience works, even when I don't want it to. And I've been to a bunch of them. But anyways, we learn to work together and lift NA up, man. Anyway, that's all I got.